jigs on his heels. He starts the engine, his eyes now wide for a completely different reason. "I will personally see that you feel pain for every cocksucking thing you've ever done!" Cord steps back as Pettis slams the car into drive and slides down the driveway and up the access road. I feel nothing. No rage, no anger, no fear. My friends are all talking around me. I hear a basketball being tossed into the back of a truck. I sense movement, feel someone bump me, but I don't move. I'm afraid to snap out of this haze, because I'll have to process everything, consider that there might be some truth to his accusations. But it can't be true. She wouldn't. Not after last night. My shoulder is hit again, and I look up into Jiggs's face. "Did she?" I ask point blank. "Ty, if she did, I didn't know." He scrubs his hands down his face. "Fuck, man. I'm sorry either way. If she didn't, then Pettis just signed his death warrant. But if she did..." My wedding ring catches the late afternoon sunlight. It shines in the light, reminding me of the day Elon placed it on my finger. "I'll love you, for better or worse, till death do us part." The chill that arrived with Pettis leaves me with his departure. Instead, a red-hot flame starts in my gut and burns every fiber of my body as it rolls through me. There's no way this is happening. "What are you going to do?" Jiggs asks. Considering his question for a half a second, I turn my back to him as I storm to my truck. "Ty?" Cord asks, leaning against the side of his truck. "Hey, Cord," I shout, swinging my door open. "If I get hemmed up tonight, you'll bail me out, right? Because if I see Elon and this isn't true, I'm gonna fucking kill him." "I got you."
Chapter 14. Elon. I hold it together through the appointment, to my car, and on the drive home. Radio off, ignoring the envelope next to me that lays as heavily on my mind as it does on the leather passenger seat. I keep my vision trained on the road ahead. The bright white envelope is full of papers that, if I fill them out, would officially end my marriage. There should be relief in that, in knowing my options, but there's no relief in this. Really, how could there be? It's not a choice I want to make, but one that feels like the only possibility available. I don't trust him. My respect level is barely hanging on. There's no loyalty between us, not anymore. How can he even understand loyalty if he would leave me and the boys like he did? If I were dating him, I'd end things. Granted, I wouldn't have loved him like I do if that were the case. But when you're in a hole this deep, is love a big enough ladder to climb out? It certainly doesn't seem so. Piloting the car onto my street, I focus on staying between the lines through the blur. Pressing harder on the accelerator, I rush to make the last few miles before the tears start. The harder I try to focus and block them out, the stronger the dampness gets in the corner of my eyes. The bridge of my nose is swollen with that tickle you get right before you start to topple over the edge. Everything is spinning. I'm starting to lose control. Emotions take over, writhing inside me, and that panics me even more. My breaths turn into quick hiccups as I glance into the rearview mirror and see a familiar truck. It's passing a car a few hundred feet back, and I watch it fly into my lane and hover a few car lengths behind me. Hands trembling on the steering wheel, a small gasp escapes my lips. I flick my eyes forward as he approaches close enough for me to see his face. Whatever composure I have now will be obsolete if I somehow meet Ty's eyes in the rearview. Maybe I'm too tired to think clearly. Maybe I just want to get this conversation over with as quickly as possible. Maybe I just feel too scattered and afraid either way. But against my better judgment, I pull into the driveway. The recklessness of his driving, the aggression I can feel ripple off of him, even being in different vehicles, is telling. He knows. He knows where I've been. It's terrifying and a relief all in one swift, blazing swoop. It's enough of a shock to press the tears away, my body going into some kind of flight or fight mode because I can't predict his behavior. That's a part of why we're in this damn situation anyway. I don't know him anymore. Breathe, Elin. Just as I suspect, Ty's truck inches in behind me, its bumper almost kissing mine. He's out of the truck before I even turn off my car. I can see the ferocity in his eyes in my side mirror, his jaw ticking as he gets closer. I grab my coat and toss it over the envelope, like somehow that piece of fabric is going to protect my decision, make it easier to get through these next few minutes. My door is jilted open and he stands in front of me, scowling. His eyes are narrowed, his body rippling in his jeans and long-sleeved charcoal-colored thermal shirt that clings to his body. I step gingerly out of the car, my gaze trained on the gravel beneath his gray and blue sneakers, and he slams it behind me before taking a step back. I'm not sure if it's for his benefit or mine. I keep walking, head down, shoulders pressed forward, heart thumping away. I stride as quickly as I can up the walkway into the back door. I listen for his steps but hear none. My mouth is dry, my nerves dancing with the overstimulation as I realize I've forgotten my purse in the car. My stomach sinks as I try to figure out if I can get in through a window, or if I can just sit on the back porch until he leaves, because there's no way I'm walking back there. The glass in the door gives me a warning that Ty is coming up behind me. I stand, facing the door, my breath fogging up the glass as he nears. Far too quickly than I'm prepared for, his chest is inches from mine, his arm around the front of me as he sticks his key in the lock. His chest is not quite touching my back, but I can feel the energy pouring off him. Knees weak, I fight myself not to fall back into him because he's not my safe place anymore. Just as I start to disintegrate and lose all composure, the door groans, opening wide. I don't hesitate to step inside, and neither does he. The groan sounds again before I hear the lock latch shut.
Guess who I ran into today?
He asks, his voice far too calm. The disparity of the tone against the look I saw in his eyes a few minutes ago sends a chill down my spine. I have no idea why he's doing this, why he just doesn't come out and say whatever it is he has to say about my visit with Parker. But I'm in no hurry to get to that part of the conversation, so I play along, hoping, praying that I'm wrong about the purpose of this visit. Jigs, I offer, my back to him.
Did you happen to run into Pettis today?
My hands tremble as they cover my face, the coolness of the metal of my wedding band caressing my cheek. It suddenly feels so heavy on my finger. Yeah. His hand smacks the table and I jump, the jolt dissolving the wall holding back the tears. The wetness courses down my cheeks, my lashes heavy with the weight of the fluid. It's a silent cry. No sobs, no gasps for breath.
What the fuck, E?
The huskiness of his voice quickens my tears, the sadness so thick that I can't bear to endure it for the both of us. What are you talking about? I ask, my own voice muddied.
Pettis told me you filed for divorce.
Like a mortar hitting its target, even though it's a shell I shot, my heart bursts into flames. I swallow a sob, nearly choking as I do.
Tell me he's lying, E.
He says, a hitch in his voice that breaks me.
Tell me I need to go find him and bust his ass. Tell me I'm going to spend a couple of days in the county jail. Please.
He adds, the pain so palpable that I can't take it anymore. Thoughts, fears, questions, consequences, failures hurl through my mind, consuming me. I can't think. I can't make sense of anything other than the overwhelming desire to shut my eyes and succumb to the pain. Reaching for the doorframe, I start to steady myself, but not before a set of strong hands finds my waist and does it for me. A sob slips by my lips instantly, the sound filling the quiet of the kitchen. Another one rips from somewhere in my soul, and another, and before I know it, I'm twirled around and my face is buried in Ty's chest. His arms pull me against him. His chin rests naturally on the top of my head like it's done 1,000 times before. My hands wind around his waist and I cry for everything we've had together. Every moment of our life we've spent as one unit. For every late night we sat in bed eating a pint of ice cream. For every drive through the country with no destination in mind. For every decision we made. Inside jokes only we understand every minute we've spent loving each other. For the 2 babies we lost. One he doesn't even know about. I cry. This is the most peace I've had since he walked out the door. A bottomless pit of sadness, sure. But there's a stillness in this moment that allows me the opportunity to just mourn. Mourn everything I've been up until this moment. Because when I pull back, I will never be this person again. Even though I haven't done it, even though I'm not sure I could have done it if I had the money, it's inevitable. My heart knows it. My fears feed it. My soul loathes it. Never again will I know the feel of his arms around me, the warmth of his breath on my cheek. Never again will I hear his heartbeat in his chest or feel the roughness of his palms of his hands on the small of my back. I love him. Damn it, I love this man so fucking much. His shirt stains with my tears, my body shaking like a leaf in his arms. I don't bother trying to control it, because this isn't something that can be reined in for any reason. Ty holds me, occasionally shushing me like he would when I heard a story about a disadvantaged child at school, and would come home in tears, or like he does when I cry at the end of Steel Magnolias. He strokes my back with such tenderness that even though he's the enemy, he still feels like my best friend. And that little fact is going to be the hardest to get over, if I ever can. My phone rings in my pocket, breaking the tranquility of possibly the last good moment of my life. I press one final kiss into the center of Ty's chest and don't look him in the eyes as I pull back and answer the call. "Hey, Linz," I try to say. It comes out as a fuzzled blurb. "Ty's here." "Oh, shit," she murmurs. "Do you want me to come over? Do you want me to send Jigs by?" Taking a deep breath, I look up. He's watching me, a need in his eye that I can't deny. I know we're going to have this conversation. We owe it to the life we've shared. "No, I'm good," I lie. She sighs into the line. "If you're sure." "I'm not sure about anything," I laugh, sniffling back tears. "But I'm okay. I'll be fine. I'll call you later." "Make sure you do that," she says as I end the call. Wincing as my temples begin to ache, I rub the sides of my head. Without looking or acknowledging Ty, I head down the hall and enter the bedroom. I pop a couple of pain relievers without even a drink, sucking them down dry. I've never felt this way in my life. It's a mixture of terror and anxiety. Yet, in the midst of the chaos, there's a smidgen of calm. Inhaling a deep breath, the air is filled with his cologne. The scent takes me back to another time, and as I sense his proximity to me, knowing he's standing at the door watching me, I would give virtually anything to open my eyes and have this entire part of my life erased. I would go back to the day he signed up at Blackwater Coal and forbid him from working there. That's what caused this. His injury. Things were never the same after that.
"Elon?"
His voice brings me back to the bedroom and the current situation. I don't answer because I don't trust my voice. I also don't respond because I don't know how to deal with the emotion in his. It's not anger and it's not fury. It's something else. Something so much more real that I don't have a default answer for.
"Did you file for divorce today?"
he asks. I found out what I have to do and how much it's going to cost," I whisper.
"What the hell, Elon?"
There's a drip of franticness in his tone now, too, that stirs up the same feeling inside me.
"Aren't you gonna say anything?"
he asks. He moves closer behind me, within touching distance, but he doesn't reach out, and I'm glad for that. "What is there to say?" I reply simply, looking at the picture of a landscape over the bed.
"Oh, I don't know. Maybe why? Why you thought you should end our marriage and not even say something to me first? I was here last night and you didn't say anything. Hell, Elon, we were together last night."
Shrugging, I turn slowly to face him. His eyes are wild, his hands laced together at the back of his neck. Maybe to keep from reaching out for me. I don't know. But it's a good idea, so I stick mine in the pockets of my jeans for the same reason. "I just got it over with," I say. "It was inevitable." He looks at me like I've lost my mind.
"You're fucking crazy."
I'm fucking crazy. I've been right here, Tyler. Where have you been?
Damn it, Elin.
He groans, pacing a circle in the middle of the bedroom floor. Damn it, Elin, I repeat. His words stoke some life back into me, diffuse some of the numbness I'd begun to feel.
I never said I wanted a divorce from you,
he booms. Sometimes actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, you're right, they fucking do. What was last night, huh? Was that my way of asking you to see about a divorce? You think I came over here and held you in my arms so you'd get the picture I didn't want to be with you anymore? Don't lie to yourself, Elin, and don't lie to me either.
I huff, walking around him and into the hall, ignoring his shouts for me to come back. I enter the living room. I need to put some distance between us. Scurrying to the far end of the sofa, I clench the armrest as he walks in.
I couldn't divorce you,
he says, positioning himself against the other side of the sofa. As soon as I can save the money, I'll file. You don't have to do it, I whisper. Even as the words come out of my mouth, I want to fall to the floor and sob. I know in the bottom of my gut that I don't want it to be over. I want to love this man for the rest of my life. But I don't want the relationship he and I have now. It's not us. We've agreed to stop the fights dozens of times. Promised each other we'd do better, yet we're still here. His jaw ticks, his knuckles turning white as he regrips the couch.
The hell you will.
Running his hands through his hair, his eyes never leave mine.
I'll tear up every set of papers they send me, Elin. I'll put up a fight at every turn. I'm not letting you do this to us.
I don't have another answer.
The answer is right fucking here.
He shouts back, holding his arms out to his sides. Tears burn my skin as they flow down my face. He notices them, watches them cascade to the floor before he looks me in the eye again. When he does, I see the pain he's in, and as much as I hate to admit it, it breaks my heart. I just want this over. Please, I gasp. Just let me go.
Let you go?
He asks, his voice starting to break.
Like it's something I can just laugh about and keep going?
He leans towards me, his eyes burning into mine.
You're everything to me, Elin. You're my lover, my best friend, my partner in everything. The mother of my children someday.
My chest heaves with my sobs. I can't even see him in front of me anymore. It's all a blur. A watery vision of colors and fuzzy shapes.
If you take you away from me, you take everything. Don't you understand?
He says, just loud enough for me to hear over myself.
You're everything to me, Elin Witt. You're my entire world.
You don't get to say that after you just vanish. That's not how this works.
Is that what this is?
He asks, starting to come around the couch. I back away in the opposite direction and he stops.
Are you punishing me for leaving? Fine. Make me feel the pain you felt when I left.
My hand trembles as I put it in the air to silence him. My body shakes with fury as I think back on the night I lost our baby. You could never feel the pain I felt. I could never ever do that to you, even if I wanted to. You have no idea, I seethe.
I didn't know what else to do.
You didn't know what to do? About what, Ty? What in your fucking life was so bad? My hand shakes as I point a finger at him. You don't get to just come and go as you please. You don't get to get sick of being married and—
That's not what happened.
I don't care! I scream, my temples throbbing as blood rushes through my body. I don't even care, I say again, wiping my nose with the back of my hand.
Yes, you do.
It doesn't matter, I laugh sadly. How can I ever trust you not to just walk away when things get hard or boring?
Is that what you think I did?
He asks, astonished.
You think I just got sick of this life and walked out?
Yep.
How could you think that?
What am I supposed to think? You leaving was a new low, Ty, a new bottom. You never even thought about leaving me before, and all it took was one little—
You asked me to.
My hands throw in the air. Yeah, I did. You're right. So you just decide a few weeks of not talking to me at all was the right answer?
My phone broke.
What if I needed you? The heft of my question cuts him off, his mouth still open. Slowly, his head cocks to the side.
Did you?
I only look at him. No smile, no smirk, no staring daggers his way. Just a somber look that has him thrown off balance,
Elon.
Do I even want to know what you were doing? He still hasn't recovered from my insinuation. Gathering all the courage I can gather, I go for it. I ask the one question that, depending on the answer, will answer every other one. Was it another woman, Tyler?
No.
Do you have any idea the reasons I've came up with to try and make myself feel better about this? Do you have any idea the hysteria I'd feel not knowing if you were alive? Then I hear from Pettis that you are alive and well, and everything becomes clear that it's probably another woman. He lurches forward.
It's not another woman.
How do I know? I ask breathlessly. He runs his hands through his hair, tugging at the roots.
Do you want to know why I left?
It doesn't matter now, I reply. Not sure that's true. He starts to speak and then stops a few times, like he's gathering the courage to share whatever secret he's kept to himself. The longer it takes him to come forward with the truth, the more confident I feel that I don't want to hear it. Save it, I say, starting back to the kitchen. If he won't leave, I will.
I felt emasculated.
The room stills, an eerie silence dropping over the space. He doesn't speak, and neither do I, as he waits for some sort of reaction.
I did.
He shrugs, looking at the floor.
Here I am, the man of the house, and I can't work, and I'm sitting here all fucking day, watching you kill yourself at work, and taking care of the house and me, and paying the bills while I do nothing.
You were hurt, I say in disbelief.
And then?
He continues like he got a second wind.
All I hear about is the baby stuff. When we can have sex, when we can't. What's wrong with you? What could be wrong with me?
Well, I'm sorry for wanting to have your child, I burst out.
I want you to have my child. I want you to have a fucking dozen of them.
He booms.
But my God, Elon, that's all it was about. I felt like I couldn't perform, like I was shooting blanks and you were judging me for it. And I swear to all that's holy, I don't believe there's anything wrong with us but the fucking pressure.
I blink back salty tears as the truth lingers on my tongue. Before I can find the courage to tell him about the baby, he speaks again and I'm relieved.
You were pissed all the time, and that made me frustrated. And it was just one thing after another. Every time one of us opened our mouths, we'd fight.
We say in unison. Exchanging a sad smile, I bow my head.
I wasn't with another woman. I wasn't on drugs, no matter what Pettis told you. Yes, I took that money to buy them, but I didn't.
Looking up at him, I hold my breath. But you were going to?
Yeah, I won't lie to you. I was just taking what I was prescribed, basically, although I went through that last script in about half the time. I was going to buy more and just keep the numbness I had going on to block everything out.
He takes a step towards me.
But I didn't.
Where's the money now?
I used it to live. Food, gas, whatever.
His face falls.
I pussed out. You asked me to go, and I did. I wanted a break from all the fighting. I thought we could take some time apart and really clear our heads, you know? Why come back if it's the same thing?
I want to tell him because I needed him. Because I was silently pleading for him to return, but I don't. Because that would require an explanation I'm not ready to give him. I cross my arms across my chest, both as an outward expression to keep him away and to keep myself from reaching for him. Where did you go? I ask.
Kruger Farms. I stayed over there in the top of a barn of a farmer that my dad used to know.
He chews his bottom lip, watching me. And I'm supposed to believe that?
Yeah, baby, you are. You can call them and ask them if you want.
He forces a swallow before squaring his shoulders to me.
I wasn't an addict, or I don't think I was. But the first few days of being there, I had to get off the pain meds. I was sick. I was worse than I thought I was going to be, but I did it. And if I went through all of that in front of you, you'd never look at me the same way again.
He smiles sadly.
I hit rock bottom, E.
My chest heaves as the weight of his words falls on me. I had no idea things were this serious with him. A part of me wants to hold him, to ask him why. And another part of me wants to slap him for being so stupid. More than ever, I'm looking at a man that, on the surface, I know better than anyone, but do I even know him at all? How do I know you won't do that again? I ask. Do you want pills now? He smiles the most honest grin I've seen since he's been back.
I have no interest. I only want you.
My mind reels. Why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you let me help you?
That's why I left, so maybe there would be some hope that we could fix this, that I could fix this. There was no way I could let you see me like that. It would taint you.
It still tainted me. It ruined our marriage. His features hardened again.
Our marriage is not ruined.
There's no way to fix this tie. Not like you want. Not like I'd want. I don't even know you. I mean, drugs, Ty?
I'm clean, I swear to God. I wasn't an addict or something, just starting down that road. But thank fuck I caught it. Or maybe you caught it by catching me. I don't know.
He sighs.
I'll fix this, Elin.
How do you think you're going to fix the damage you caused when you don't even know all that entails?
Tell me.
He says earnestly. I shake my head. His eyes cloud, his voice wavering.
I need you, Elin.
Looking down the hall, my chest tightens. I remember sitting in the bathroom that's not 15 steps from where we are, watching the toilet water turn pink after my doctor's appointment, feeling a part of me leave my body, a part of my heart ripping away. I look at Ty. Yeah. Well, I needed you too.
Chapter 15. Ty. Pain is streaked across her face, her anguish on display for the world, for me to see. I can't take it. If there's one thing in this world I've wanted more than any other, it is Elin Watson. From the moment I saw her at her locker, her body in a pair of jean shorts and a yellow top that fell off her right shoulder nibbling on a red sucker, I had to have her. And I finally got her. I promised to take care of her, protect her, love her. Standing here, seeing the fallout from not doing those things destroys me from the inside out. She watches me from across the room. Do you remember the first day I kissed you? I ask, watching her face soften as the memory pops in her head. I'd wanted to kiss you for days, but I was afraid to push too hard.
I remember Lindsay telling me to be careful around you. That all the girls liked you and you were a player.
She remembers. All the girls did like me, I say, trying to bring her back to me, trying to remind her that I'm the kid she fell in love with. But I liked you.
Everyone said it was just because I was the new girl,
she says. Well, I've known you for a long damn time, and I want you more today than I did that day in the hallway outside a math lab. She looks out the window, a faint smile on her lips.
I told you no the first time you asked me out. Everyone knew you around town. Everyone liked you. It was overwhelming.
It doesn't help that on your first day I kind of stalked you, huh? Elin starts to come around. The tension eases from her face. The lines weaken around her eyes as a hint of the sparkle comes back.
When you made Pettis get up from beside me at lunch, I was scared to death. I couldn't figure out what you wanted from me.
I think we both know what I wanted from you. I wink. Your ass in those shorts. She laughs, the sound music to my ears.
You ended up getting it.
Taking a step closer to her, she doesn't move away. I breathe a sigh of relief. It's a small victory I'm too happy to take. Do you know what I want from you now?
Ty.
I just want my wife back, E. I want my life back.
You can't just have it back,
she whispers.
Things were burned.
She looks at me through her thick lashes.
I was burned.
I'm sorry. She blows out a breath and glances quickly down the hallway. Swallowing roughly, she hesitates a long moment. When she looks at me again, something's changed. Her bottom lip quivers, her brows pulled together in a concerted effort to maybe hold herself together.
I could have helped you, Tyler. If you would have told me how you felt, what you were going through, we could have fixed it. But you didn't trust me, and I can't.
Tears well up again, and I reach for her. My heart cracking in my chest, she bats my hands away.
Stop,
she says, her voice void of any strength. You want me to stand here and watch you cry and not want to comfort you? Smiling through the tears, she breaks my heart even more.
You can go and I'll cry by myself. I've gotten pretty good at it lately.
Damn it, Elin. What do we have if we don't have each other? Everything we've ever wanted, every dream, hope, every idea of a family and a future are tied together. You can't just walk away from that.
I didn't.
she says, finally breaking her silence.
You did it.
I did not. I walked away to protect you.
Funny. I'm walking away to protect me too.
Her voice cracks, and I don't care anymore. I grab her and pull her into me, and she surprisingly lets me. She doesn't make an effort to embrace me, but I don't care. I just hold her for dear life. Our future is in front of us, I whisper, brushing the hair off her shoulder. We can figure this out. I'll get a new job, which you'll love because I know you've hated the mine. And we can start a family. I press a kiss to the top of her head. I can't wait to see your belly swollen with my baby. Her body shakes. I rub my hands down her back, not sure if she's laughing or crying. We'll paint the nursery and stay up late trying to figure out how to put together the bed and all the baby.
Stop!
She begs, her head buried in my shirt.
Please, just stop.
Squeezing her tighter, I feel her emotionally backing away from me. She's building some sort of barrier to keep me out, and I have to figure out how to tear it down quick. I swear to you, I'll be everything you need. She pulls back, her lips forming a thin line.
You were always everything I needed,
she says quietly.
I can't imagine being with another man.
It's a good fucking thing, because you won't be with another man, I point out. I'll kill him.
You aren't the problem, Ty. It's just...
She struggles, looking at the floor. She's all over the place tonight, both physically and mentally. And I can't figure out what's causing all of this vacillating. One minute she's in my arms, and the next she's telling me she wants me to leave and never come back. What the fuck? A sick feeling crawls through my veins. I think there's more to this than you're letting on. She gulps and turns her back on me, walking into the kitchen. I follow. Elin?
You need to go,
she says, her voice steady. I need to find out what in the hell happened while I was gone. She pops open the back door and leans against it. She looks at me with no feeling, void of any sadness, anger, or love.
Doesn't matter, Ty.
That's bullshit. I scoff at her blatant lie. Her eyes go wide as I stand tall in front of her. The next words out of my mouth, ones I don't want to say. Yet I have to. You weren't with someone else, were you?
God, no,
she says, shocked. It's obvious the idea is new to her, and that has me sighing in relief. Thank fuck.
Go, please, before I call Jiggs.
What's he gonna do? I chuckle. She doesn't flinch.
Go, Ty.
My blood starts to boil, my fists curling at my sides. If she thinks this is over just like that, she's out of her damn mind. Her gaze is fire, her sadness turned to fury. I feel the fight begin. The switch we are all too familiar with. This isn't over, you know that, right? I say, heading to the door. I'm just leaving so we don't get into some huge argument and say things we can't take back. She watches me hit the threshold and I pause, waiting for her to change her mind. She doesn't. I'll call you tomorrow, I say, watching her eyes widen.
Don't,
she whispers.
I'll file papers when I get the...
My laugh cuts her off. Bending down so we're eye to eye, I make things crystal clear. I won't be signing any fucking papers, Elin. Ever. She sucks in a hasty breath, and I give her time to process my words. You are mine. You will always be mine, I tell her. Get that through your beautiful fucking head.
Leave,
she says, on the cusp of crying. I'm leaving, but get one thing straight, I warn. I'm leaving this house because you asked me to, and because whatever comes out of my mouth from here on isn't going to do either of us any good. I clear my throat, trying to get the rest of the words out over the lump lodged there. I'm leaving the house, E. I'm not leaving you. And I will be back.
Chapter 16. Elin. The door groans as my husband walks out. I hold my breath, half hoping he bursts back in, half hoping I hear his truck start. In a few moments, the latter happens and I exhale. It's shaky, wobbly, and I try to stay as quiet as possible as I listen to him back down the driveway and take off down the street. Glancing around the room, His energy is still here. Although I told him to go, although he needed to go because him staying here would only make things harder in the long run. I miss him immediately. My skin still sings from his touch. His cologne lingers on my shirt, the air kissed by his presence. This is going to be much, much harder than I thought. My phone chirps beside me and I pick it up. Hey, I say, clearing my throat.
Hey, Elin, it's Court.
I smile at the sound of my friend's voice. What's up?
I was with Ty when he heard what Pettis had to say. I figured I'd drive by and see if he was there. You know, make sure he's not going to get arrested tonight or anything.
He says as lightly as he can.
I saw him just pull out of your driveway, but he won't answer his cell.
Gulping back a sob, I don't know what to say. Ty's fine.
How are you?
I don't know. I whisper.
Look, I'm in front of your house. Do you want me to stop?
His headlights shine through the living room window and instant relief washes over me. Yeah, why don't you? The call ends and within a few seconds he raps on the front door. I venture to the living room and let him in. Cord steps inside wearing a pair of dark denim jeans, a white t-shirt, and a brown fleece jacket. He looks like the requisite boy next door, with his clean-cut good looks and simple, easy nature.
How are you?
He asks, shrugging off his flannel jacket.
Damn, it's hot in here.
I keep it warm, I say, glancing at the thermostat. Ty always kept it cooler. My eyes wet at the sound of his name. I remember all the arguments we'd had over the thermostat. How one of us would change it and the other would change it right back. It was really one of the only things we just couldn't agree on. Cord watches me carefully.
Did you really file for divorce today?
I slump on the sofa. No, I just went to see how to do it.
That's pretty big.
He comments, sitting in the chair across the room.
Did you mean it?
I did it, didn't I?
That doesn't mean you wanted to.
My head in my hands, I feel a bone-crushing exhaustion settle in.
Look, I'm gonna be honest.
Cord says, interrupting my thoughts.
You don't look like a woman that just did something she believes in.
I did what I had to do, Cord.
Nah, I don't think so.
What in the world do you know about my marriage? How do you know what I did or didn't have to do? I ask, annoyed.
Because no one has a gun pointed to your head telling you to talk to an attorney or they're pulling the trigger.
He says, completely unaffected by the look I'm shooting him.
You saw someone about a divorce. That's no small thing.
No shit, I mock, shaking my head. Cord sighs and sits back in the chair.
I hate this.
Yeah, well, join the crowd. His brows shoot to the ceiling. Of course, I hate this, I whisper, flopping back against the cushions. Do you think this was the way I saw my life going?
Then let's hold up here and figure out a way around it.
There is no way around it, Cord. I snip. The corner of his lip turns up and he narrows his eyes.
Then you aren't the lady I thought you were.
Excuse me? He shrugs.
I gave you way too much credit, Elin.
What? I lean up flabbergasted. You gave me too much credit? Fuck you, Cord. He laughs and that only makes me madder. So, I'm the bad guy in this, I fire. Somehow I'm the asshole because I want to know my options? Ty can take the liberty to do whatever the hell he wants while I'm here losing our bit. I clamp my mouth shut right before spilling my secret. A storm rolls across his features as his eyes draw to my hands on my stomach, and then back up to me. Don't, I roar, my voice teetering as I await his response. He exhales, the breath whistling between his teeth.
Things are starting to get a little clear.
I'm happy for you. Now you can go and take all that extra credit you threw my way with you, and keep your mouth shut about whatever it is you think you figured out. I warn as angrily as I can, shoving my hands in my pockets and away from my stomach. He doesn't move, just watches me.
I still think I gave you too much credit,
he says finally. My arms fly in the air. Cord, I'm about 2 seconds from punching you in the face.
Thank you.
He snickers.
You just proved my point.
And how's that?
You are a fighter,
he says, leaning his elbows on his knees.
Always have been. Do you remember the time Gabrielle Donaldson got suspended for fighting back when that new girl jumped her in the hallway? And then 3 days later, the center for the basketball team got into a fight and didn't get shit because it was sectional week?
Yeah, I laugh. I went to the office and called bullshit. I about got myself suspended over that. Principal Mackey is an idiot. It's why I give him hell now with the boys. Payback.
Exactly. You've always been the person to go to bat for someone else when you feel something's not right. You do it for the kids in the school. You went to Mackey this year when James got in trouble. Remember that?
I nod, not seeing where this is heading. Cut to the chase.
Look, you fight for everyone and everything. Why aren't you fighting for your marriage?
Oh, don't even come at me with that! I shout, rising up off the couch.
I'm coming at you with this because it's what you need to hear, darling.
You have no idea what I need to hear. My blood soars past my ears, my jaw clenching so hard it hurts. You can't come in here and tell me what I should do and how I should feel. You don't know what I've been through. I can't look him in the eye and see the pity. The weight of his stare is enough to let me know that he does know, or has a very good idea of what I've been through. Cord is standing in front of me, drawing me to his chest before I know it. His hug is simple, a platonic act that I need more than I even realized. When he pulls back and smiles at me, I'm a little steadier.
I'm not judging you,
he says, his rich voice soft.
I'm just telling you that you should have trusted your gut.
How do you know what my gut says?
Will you stop answering me with questions?
He chuckles.
Elin.
He walks in a circle before stopping by the entertainment center. He lifts a framed photograph of all of us. Me, him, Ty, Jigs, and Lindsay, a couple of weeks after graduation. We're at the lake, huge smiles and peace signs flipped up for the camera.
I know how easy it is to get drawn into your head,
he says.
It's easy as hell to sit around and think about everything that's wrong, and think of a way out because you're desperate for the pain to end.
He looks at me again, his eyes somber.
Graduation was hard on me. Everyone was so happy planning their lives, you know?
He forces a swallow, his hand holding the photograph dropping to his side. He twists it back and forth and back again.
I just kept thinking how I was officially on my own.
Cord, that wasn't true, I say hurriedly.
No, it was. My foster parents made it very clear they were taking on another kid and I needed to find a place to go. They didn't get the check from the state after that, and they needed that income. I get it. I mean, that was their job, but I had a week to find a way to take care of myself.
Fostering a child shouldn't be a job, I say, my heart rate spiking. You should take a child in because you love them, not for a paycheck. His shoulders rise and drop.
It was what it was. I don't know why I thought they'd be there after that. I guess because I was with them the longest out of all the foster homes I was in. It was my mistake.
Cord! He cuts me off with a wave of his hand.
So we were at the lake that day, all of us, and you were all going on about your plans and all that, and I just kept thinking about how fucked I was. I didn't know where I was going to sleep in a few days. You all were having these huge parties thrown for you by your families, and I had a week to get out of my family's house.
Oh, Cord, I say, reaching for his hand. He smiles but doesn't take it.
That night,
he says, his voice gruff,
I went out to Duggar Lake. The same place I had sat with my mom when she visited me the only time in my life. I sat on the old railroad tracks that go over the water, and I thought about what options I had. The more I thought about it, the worse I felt.
Rightfully so, I say, taking his hand in mine even though he tries to pull it back. Cord, you couldn't help what your parents or what your foster family did to you. You had every right to feel bad about that. You were 18 years old.
Did you know Jigs and Ty found me that night?
I look deep into his eyes, darker than I've ever seen them. A cold chill rips through me. No, I say. I don't remember them saying anything. He slips his hands out of mine and sets the picture back on the shelf.
Well, they did. To this day, I don't know if it was happenstance or if they were looking for me, but they caught me about 30 seconds from jumping off those tracks.
You would have died.
That was the point.
Cord! I gasp, my hand flying to my mouth.
I know,
he says simply.
Crazy, right? But at that moment in my life, everything looked hopeless and I was on the brink of making an insane decision. I just wanted the hurt to stop. I wanted the decisions made. I wanted to stop being different. If they hadn't come when they did...
He turns and touches me on the nose.
I wouldn't be here.
Stunned, I walk backwards until the backs of my thighs hit the sofa and I fall onto the cushions.
That man of yours and your brother, they saved my life, Elin.
A plethora of memories overtakes me and everything falls into place. That's why you stayed with us right after that.
Yeah.
He smiles.
And why your dad got me on at the mine, because Jigs begged him to help me.
How did I never know this?
It's not something you want broadcast.
He laughs.
You and Lindsay have always been so sweet to me. Good girls, the both of you. You have no clue how many times in my life you've made me smile. And it was the only time I felt happy some days.
Words fail me. There's no way to respond to that.
You guys have been the only consistent thing in my life. Y'all have never turned your backs on me.
We're your friends, Court. I choke out.
Fuck that. You're my family. The only family I have.
His words are crisp and clear, and they fall hard on my heart.
That's why I'm here. Because I can't sit back and watch you make this mistake. You all have pulled me up many times in my life. And I have to try to pull you up now.
Whoa, I say, still trying to come to terms with Cord's story. My marriage and what happened to you are two different things.
Not really,
he says easily.
You and I both got sunk by a set of circumstances and made decisions in the throes of the moment. Neither of which were good, clear-headed decisions.
What do you want me to do, Cord? I sigh. Everything is broken. I can't trust him. I can't tell him things, I gulp, that a woman should want to tell her husband.
You should tell him about that.
Why? Help him feel better about his decision? That I have some fatal flaw and can never give him what he wants? Both hands on his hips, he shakes his head.
You know there isn't a lot of difference between what you say Ty did to you and what you did to him.
Flabbergasted, my jaw drops to the floor. Ty left me, Court. He left me. He took off out of here on fucking drugs from what I hear, and left everyone that loved him. I can't just brush that under the rug.
He was trying to deal with things. He made a decision in the middle of a bunch of shit, just like I did, and just like you're doing now. You see how stupid that is?
I start to talk, but he waves me off.
And as far as you not doing anything to him?
He looks at my stomach for a long moment. I flinch under his scrutiny, his observation piercing me to the point it almost hurts. Covering my belly with my hand, to somehow protect my secret and my pride, I can't respond to his insinuations. I'm terrified to go there. He nods, tearing his eyes away from mine.
I'm sorry, Elin.
A single tear drips down on my cheek. The simple words, the first time anyone has had the chance to comfort me since the loss besides Lindsay. The words are almost a warm blanket over my torn soul, soothing the ragged, lonely edges from losing something so precious. I watch my friend watch me, and we don't say anything. He doesn't muddy the moment by expressing his undying sorrow for me, or by telling me it'll be okay. He does what Cord does, and just knows that his presence is enough. He's there. Sniffling, I stand again, this time my legs swaying a bit. A weight has been lifted somehow. Just by someone else knowing what happened. But at the same time, a jut of fear begins to work its way into my gut. Court, I say, sniffling again. Please don't say anything.
It's not my place to tell, but Elin, you should tell your husband.
The fact he calls Ty my husband doesn't go without notice. I called him to tell him, but he wouldn't answer, I say sadly.
He still deserves to know.
I'll decide what he deserves to know, I counter. I had to go through losing that baby by myself. That was by far the hardest day of my life. Harder than watching him leave or hearing the phone not pick up for days and days or asking about a divorce. And I did it alone. So I'm pretty sure I can decide how much of anything I want to do alone from here on out. He shakes his head, clearly not entertained by my little speech.
He shouldn't have left, I agree. Most of the reasons he did it were completely selfish. But he was also trying to protect you.
Don't go there with me, Court! I boom.
Even if he wasn't a full-blown addict, that shit fucks up your brain. I get that he didn't want to go off it in front of you. Even if he'd just been taking it a few weeks straight, he'd have some bad days. He knew that and didn't want you seeing it. That would have fucked you up.
He furrows his brows.
You don't think if he knew about the miscarriage, he wouldn't have come back? Because I guarantee you that boy would have been here. Guarantee it.
I wipe the tears away that are coming fast and hard now. I didn't want him back to comfort me if he didn't want to be here, and he clearly didn't.
You aren't being fair.
Life's not fair, Court. Don't we both know that? He swipes his coat off the chair and heads to the door, his temple pulsing. With his hand on the knob, he turns to look at me.
Don't make decisions because you just want to end the pain. Don't lose Ty because you're mad or hurt or confused. Be the smart girl I know you to be.
The door twists open and the cool night air hits me in the face. I'm not sure if it's the chill in the breeze or the stark reality of Cord's words that has me shivering.
Chapter 17. Ty. The gym door's propped open with a large trash can. It's Jason's doing. The kid practices so hard he pukes almost every night. Within an hour of the start of drills, he runs to the door and loses his dinner in the can. Every night. He works his tail off, not just because he has colleges looking at him for scholarships, potentially giving him a way out of this town when he couldn't afford it otherwise, but his jump shot has also given him a sort of fame in the area. Everyone knows his name, knows Jason from Jackson, just like once upon a time they knew Ty from here too. The only difference is I'll do everything in my power to see him do more than just mine coal 10 years from now. And that starts with walking in here tonight. The moon hangs bright above, the sound of balls hitting the rubberized gym floor echoing across the parking lot. I tighten my jacket over me, trying to fill the hollowness in my chest as much as I'm trying to keep the cool air out. I'm empty. I'm a shell, a ghost of a life that I once lived so vibrantly. But the difference tonight, as opposed to the many nights before, is this. I can feel me somewhere inside my body. The spark I used to feel when I woke up and looked at my day, it's spending the morning mining coal next to Jigs and Cord, dinner with Elon before practice later, is back. It's flickering, growing, starting to burn as my confidence, the realization that I'm going to have to take my life back by the horns, or watch it slip away, becomes ever apparent. And I'm not about to watch Elon or these boys drift away. As much as I hate that Elon met with Parker, and I hate even more that I had to hear it from Pettis, it was exactly what I needed to get my shit straight. The halogen bulbs glitter as I enter the gymnasium. Sneakers squeak against the floor as Reynolds' whistle screams. "Nice work!" he shouts. I round the corner and pause by the bleachers. Dustin marches across the floor and stops inches from the coach's face. They go at it, fingers in chest, veins popping. "Hit the showers, Dustin," I boom. All heads turn to me, jaws hit the floor. My eyes stay trained on my player. "You heard him," Reynolds says, his chest rising and falling from the exchange. "He's not the coach," Dustin growls, turning to Reynolds. "You are." Reynolds doesn't back down. "This is his team, you know that. Now hit the showers like you were told." No one utters a word as I traverse the room. When I reach Dustin, his eyes are wide. He's only seen this look on my face a couple of times, and neither has ended well for him. I love this kid. I've even had him over for supper a few times, and Elon keeps an eye on him academically. But his attitude can be something fierce. Something I try to handle when it erupts at me because I get where it's coming from. His parents left town while he was at a friend's house when he was 7 years old. He's been in foster care ever since, moving from house to house, school to school. He's been in Jackson for 5 years now, part of the team for two. I've heard enough stories, seen enough of his strained life, to have empathy for the boy. Yet, it's my job to teach him to manage his anger and act like the man he's going to be, hard life or not. "Apologize to him," I say through gritted teeth. "He had us running suicides for the last 20 minutes. "I don't give a shit if he had you running them all practice. You do not disrespect your coach like that. Apologize or get the hell out of here." A flicker of something dashes through his eyes and I make note of it. "Everyone, come here," I say. The boys gather around, balls on their hips, sweat dripping off their chins. They watch me with a mixture of trepidation and respect that makes me pause. This team, all 15 athletes standing in front of me, are my responsibility. They're my boys, my team, my group of kids to inspire and encourage, even if I did officially resign. I can't let them down any more than I already have. Taking a deep breath, I face them all. "How are you?" I ask. They nod, mumble their typical "fine," "okay," "all right," and wait for me to continue. Look, guys, I want to say I'm sorry.
No, coach, it's fine, Jason begins, but I wave him off.
You know what? It's not fine, I say, looking him in the eye.
No, it's not, Dustin says, squaring his shoulders.
Where have you been?